Hey, everybody. Before we get into the show, I wanted to let you know we've got another live show coming up. We will be back at Maya Cinemas on Thursday, May 23rd for Furiosa, the latest in the Mad Max series. We are so excited for this one. Joining me to talk about it, we've got Sam Novak, Shahab Zargari, and Tony Gonzalez. A great lineup. It's going to be an awesome movie. We are so excited to talk about it. So make sure to check the show notes. There are opportunities to win tickets. You can also buy tickets, and we hope to see you there Thursday, May 23rd, 6 p.m. at Maya Cinemas for Furiosa. Welcome, everybody, to a special episode of Piecing It Together. This is the first of its kind, something I'm hoping to do a lot in the future, but this is a perfect opportunity to get it started. You may remember a month ago or so, we did an episode on a movie called Bus Party to Hell, which also happened to be a movie that I did some of the music for, including the theme song. And we had a lot of fun doing that episode, Chad Clinton Freeman and I. We came up with a lot of great puzzle pieces for it, and you know, it was great just doing such a crazy fun movie. Plus, it was great doing a movie that I actually had done some work on. So, I mean, it was a great experience all around. And the thing that we're going to be doing today is talking to the director of the movie, Rolf Konevsky. He wrote and directed this movie. It was produced by my friends, the Mahal Brothers, and it was great to talk to Rolf. It was great to get his reactions to the puzzle pieces that we suggested inspired Bus Party to Hell. As you'll hear, some of them we were right on, some of them we were wrong on, but that's exactly why I want to start doing these filmmaker follow-ups. Hopefully we'll be able to continue doing them in the future with more movies. This was a lot of fun to do. I hope you enjoy it, and definitely check out Bus Party to Hell, which comes out this week on Blu-ray. Nice. Well, before we jump into some of these movies that we talked about on the show, I just thought for our listeners, if you could just kind of give a quick little, you know, introduction of yourself and, you know, some of what you've done.
Sure. Well, I'm the writer director of Bus to Hell, whatever you want to say. I started pretty young. I'm from New York and grew up in Scarsdale, New York. My first professional film was a movie called There's Nothing Out There, which has turned into kind of a cult movie over the years as well, which is nice. We're actually talking now to see if we can get it on Blu-ray, which would be cool.
Oh, nice.
Which was one of the early meta horror films where there were seven kids going to a house in the woods for spring break, and one of the kids has seen every horror film on video, and he knows all the warning signs, and as soon as evil strikes in the form of an alien creature that fell from the sky, he begins to tell his friends what to do to survive. And it was Scream with monsters, I guess, 6 years before Scream.
Sure, yeah.
So it's built up the reputation of being the precursor to that film. Then I worked on a family film that I was brought on to help called My Family Treasure with Dee Wallace and Alex Vincent, the kid from the first two Child's Plays and now the new Child's Play movies, which is cool. And then I made a move to California and took a couple of years to reestablish myself. Started working for a French producer named Alain Sirotsky, and I did a bunch of late night sexy comedies for him, including some of the Emmanuel movies of the time.
Sure.
Finally got back to horror with The Hazing, which is a fun film that I'm also trying to get re-released on Blu-ray, maybe one day soon, which sort of poked fun at the genre too, but the characters and the situations, like Breakfast Club with as a horror film. And that had Brad Dourif in it, from also from Child's Play, of course, and Lord of the Rings and Deadwood. and Brooke Burke and Tiffany Seppis, who I started working with a lot in some of these movies, and did a bunch more horror films. But over the years, I've jumped around from horror to comedy. I wrote Blonde and Blonder with Pamela Anderson, Denise Richards. Last film directed by Bob Clark, that people may know from the original Black Christmas to, Christmas Story to Baby Geniuses to Porky's to Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things, and, which was kind of cool. Movie didn't turn out great, but it was nice to be associated with it. Thrillers, One of the Gun with Stephen Bauer, Robert Davi, James Russo, and Tomorrow by Midnight, which is one of my favorite films that has never seen the light of day in America, unfortunately, with Carol Kane and Alexis Arquette and Jorge Garcia. And then I even did a musical, came back to the genre, did Jacqueline Hyde, Corpses with Jeff Fahey, and Nightmare Man, which was one of the 8 films to die for as part of the After Dark when they were doing that for those 2 years. We were selected for that, which is a whole story unto itself. and then recently met up with Michael and Sonny Mahal from Facebook, and they contacted me to write a college comedy, since I had written and directed 2 movies that they really liked called Pretty Cool and Pretty Cool 2, which was my sort of throwback to the Porky's and Weird Science and Zapped, genre.
Sure.
Made successful again after died for a while with American Pie. And I wrote this thing called Last Day of School. And then they brought me on to run and direct Bus Party to Hell, and then now most recently Art of the Dead, which we're just starting post-production on.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's awesome. You've worked on such a wide range of films. It's so many cool things. It's great. And the reaction to Bus Party to Hell, you've been getting like a lot of great reviews on this one.
I'm very surprised. I guess I'm used to, because I've done a lot of comedy horror in from my first film to most of my horror films have a lot of good sense of humor to it. The Black Room with Natasha Henstridge, which is on Netflix now, and Lynn Shea also had a sense of fun. And that one, I guess because of the it was about an incubus, so it's a sexual demon, and the humor put people off. I think with the title called The Black Room, they were expecting a James Wan, Insidious, Conjuring kind of movie, and I was going back to the 70s with Mephisto Waltz and some, other references and doing something that was sexy and scary and fun. And that one people didn't get. So a lot of times my humor people get confused with, because they think they're seeing a straight horror film, and then all of a sudden there's all these jokes. But Bus Party to Hell with Tara Reid and that title, which I was very happy that the Mahals went that direction, because when they brought me on, they wanted something that was much grittier, more like an Eli Roth Hostel, Hills Have Eyes kind of movie. And what I wrote was actually, and their title was Bus Party Massacre, but the script I handed them was Bus Party to Hell.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if they'd go for it, because it was, real tongue in cheek. But they loved it, and they embraced it, and that's what we made. And that one with that title, people have, for the first time on the first go around, like there's nothing out there, it took a while for people to catch on to it, but this one people seem to get. So some of the best reviews I've gotten, which is amazing.
That's awesome. That is great.
Silly movie.
Yeah, because and that's the thing with comedy horror. It's such a fine line that needs to be rode, and I think you do it very well with this. I mean, it's got the right amount of the horror and the comedy, which is really, I think, why it's easy to connect with, especially for a certain kind of audience that is into this kind of a movie.
Thanks. Yeah, it's always been a strange genre, because the film that was my big influence, and actually there's a new book that just came out called My Favorite Horror Movies, that 48 filmmakers and various people in the business wrote essays on their favorite, most influential films. And I wrote about Abney's Tommy Frankenstein, which is still one of the best comedy horror films of all time and a big influence on my career. But again, having 2 famous comedians in the lead of that, you kind of know what you're getting.
But
if you do it without any big names, people don't know what to expect from it. So, if you have, whoever the big comedians at the time, Will Ferrell, Eddie Murphy, or whatever doing it, then you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I get it. Ghostbusters,
Right.
It works with that. But, this was the same issue I heard John Landis had with 10 years before you can get American Wealth London made, because, you know, the people love the script, but it was the same thing I heard on There's Nothing Out There. It's too funny to be scary. It's too scary to be funny. So they don't know what the line is. Is it a comedy? Is it a horror film? And, you know, 6 years after Nothing Out There, when Scream proved it, and I knew at that time, because I could see the audience reaction. I said, people are ready for this kind of movie.
Yeah.
But, and I said, if someone comes along and makes it with a big enough budget and some name actor, it's going to make a fortune. And sure enough, Drew Barrymore and Wes Craven, there was proven. And then the whole genre came back, which was nice. So, because Tremors bombed when that came out. I mean, Fright Night was a big hit. I love Fright Night. But it's a lot of times hit or miss, or it gets discovered later on. People really reanalyze the movie and say, oh, yeah, it's funny.
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, that's interesting. You know, we'll get into some of these, you know, puzzle pieces, as we call them. Abbott and Costello, Meet Frankenstein, that's not one that we had on a list, but that is a great one. And you know, clearly you're inspired by that brand of comedy horror. And that's awesome. So basically, I'm going to run down, I'm not going to do all of them, but I'm going to run down a list of some of the movies that we discussed on the show. And I just, you know, want to get your reaction to some of them and what you think, if we're on the right track, if not, if, sure. You know, all that. So, I mean, starting with the one that I think is pretty obvious, and a lot of the reviews mention it, The Hills Have Eyes and Wrong Turn, those series.
Yes, yeah. I've seen all the Wrong Turn movies. Well, obviously with Sadie Katz from Wrong Turn 6, yeah. You know, I'm aware of that stuff. Hills Have Eyes, though, yeah, the Mahals, that was their concept, was they wanted to do like Hills Have Eyes kind of movie. And I, again, with that line, Hills Have Eyes, Ears, Noses, and Throats, you know, was definitely making a notice of that. No question, yeah, that was an influence, and, you know, and Wes Craven again.
Absolutely. Also, the Evil Dead series been comedy horror.
Oh yeah. Now Evil Dead, that's most of my movies are guilty of that. Cause when I did, There's Nothing Out There when I was 20 years old, there were a few films that were very inspirational, and Sam Raimi's Evil Dead, and especially Evil Dead 2, which is one of the all time greats. I fell in love with, and, you know, I still to this day see myself doing. I said, oh yeah, that's a Sam Raimi shot. You know, that's some of the style and stuff like that. And I met him quickly. He was very, very nice.
Nice.
Early in my career, after There's Nothing Out There, got some heat on it before Nothing happened for a while.
Mm.
I was being dangled the possibility of directing Child's Play 3. And Sam Raimi wrote me a very nice letter wishing me luck that if I got the job and stuff like that, which was really, really cool. Bruce Campbell, I've also met once and got his approval for the Bruce Campbell joke in The Hazing with his autograph in this picture.
Nice.
If you haven't seen it, there's a whole thing with that. But yes, Evil Dead is absolutely in all my films. There's somewhere in there that's like, oh yeah, that's old Evil Dead.
Awesome. Another one I've seen mentioned a lot, so I'm pretty sure we're probably on the right track, was Race with the Devil.
Yes, well, that's the big one. That was the, and I listened to your show about that, and I loved, because the guy you did it with, when read the IMBD, I think, information, and then checked out the movie and loved it.
Yeah.
Which was, that was one of my goals going into making the movie, because when I was pitched, when Michael called me up about it, he said, pretty much all he said was, I want to do a horror movie about a party bus that breaks down in the desert and a cult group attacks people and starts killing them one by one. And as soon as I heard that premise, I said, oh, okay, so it's Race with the Devil without the race.
Yeah.
Because the bus is stuck. And I liked that idea, and I was intrigued by it, and that's when I started writing the script with it. So yes, I purposely, the characters' names are all mismatches of the actors' names of Warren Oates and Peter Fonda and Loretta Swit and
nice.
And Laura Parker and R.J. Armstrong. Alan Armstrong is the guy with the gun, and Joan Starrett is the director of the movie was Jack Starrett. So Joan Starrett is her name. So all over the movie, there is nods to this pretty great little film that a lot of people still do not know today. It was like a perfect drive-in movie in the 70s and really holds up too. It's a lot scarier than Party Bus to Hell,
mm-hmm.
but between the snakes on the bus and all these things, there's all over the place. That's why whenever you're doing something that's a nod to a certain movie like that, like in The Hazing, there was a lot of Evil Dead, and we had to mention Evil Dead. I was like, if you don't, people will think you're just ripping off this movie because, oh, you never heard of it before. Whereas, you know, I like to let people know that I know that they know that I know that I'm what I'm doing.
Exactly. I know exactly what you mean.
More.
Yeah. And you know, that's cool. You said that because what you said earlier, because, you know, that's a big goal of this show is actually, you know, you like this movie. Here's some other movies you might like too, you know, and ending up with a list of great movies to watch. And Race with the Devil is like one that I'm absolutely like, I haven't actually personally seen it. I know Chad watched it. But I'm definitely looking forward to watching it because it sounds.
I'll tell you, it really is good. I mean, they were talking about remaking it for years. Chris Moore, who was a producer who was going to direct it, he produced American Pie and some of these movies, and he wanted to do his version of it. And they still have not officially remade the movie, but I thought this was a nice nod to it without copying anything too closely. So, you know, it's not like I'm ruining or ripping off or stealing the movie. You can still watch that movie and be surprised and see where it goes. So it's not the same movie by any means. And ours gets a lot more supernatural than theirs do. But it's a cool film. And again, they get away with things in the 70s, you know, with PG, it's a PG movie that you would, it doesn't feel like a PG movie, you know,
right.
Especially the opening.
Wow. Yeah. So the next one's not actually a movie. It was more of a concept, but, heavy metal album covers and music videos.
Not so much for me. I was not really big into heavy metal. I mean, I had some friends that were, but I don't really know that scene that much. Mm-hmm. The music, I tend to love Jerry Goldsmith and sort of classical John Williams and those kinds of scores. But Party Bus to Hell, I felt needed a real driving sort of heavy metal thrash kind of score to it and
sure.
Punk rock or whatever. And so we really went after that. It was great with the songs and everything. I mean, obviously the Highway to Hell song that we couldn't ever afford to get, you know, was, you know, was what I tempt the promo reel with, because I said, that's the attitude of the movie. And then we got lucky with you and a bunch of other ones that found these great songs that fit the mood of it. But when I was making the film, I wasn't thinking heavy metal images or album covers now.
Yeah, more so just like horror, just like a score, basically, but not specifically.
It was more of the
metal.
Score, yeah. The feel for the soundtrack was that, but
yeah.
Not the look of the movie necessarily.
Gotcha. Okay, and how about The Warriors?
I know The Warriors. That never really came to mind. Well, Mad Max, yes.
I was going to say that one with it too. Yeah. Mad Max and the Warriors.
Yeah. Mad Max and Fury Road. Cause when I talked to Wardrobe, I said, well, okay, here was the thing. In the original version of the script of Party Bus, the cult really didn't say in much. They were mostly in the capes and you didn't really see them.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the leader who said a few lines and the one who dances with the snake and that stuff. Everything else was pretty quiet. I was thinking more lines of like Assault on Precinct 13. Where you have these sort of, you know, just people that are just constantly attacking the police station, John Carpenter's movie. Once we started going the Indiegogo route and people start putting money in for cameos and they want to say something, it seemed like, well, we need a lot more people talking. So some became some of the partiers on the bus and some became some of the cult members. And then I started giving the cult members personalities and I said, okay, if they're going to be talking or saying one line, why don't we go more like Mad Max Fury Road and dress them all up in more unusual kind of Burning Man outfits.
Sure.
And give them all their own personalities, which is the one who's dressed as a giant praying mantis with the green hat. Alyssa Dowling, who's a scream queen, who's done a lot of movies. She was supposed to have a bigger role, but she actually designed that herself because I said, you know, pick an animal or if you want to be a rock or a cactus or all this kind of stuff. So everyone can kind of play their own, you know, have their own inner story going on. Cause I love that in Fury Road where, even though there wasn't a lot of dialogue, you get, the more you watch it, you see much more going on with all these secondary and third characters. Everyone has something going on while they're attacking, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They've all got their own personalities and stuff, even without
personalities.
Dialogue.
And I aim for that in Party Bus. And then some of the performances were better, some were worse. So things got cut and trimmed and not all the lines made the final cut, but, and then weather was an influence too. We had some really bad storms and I mean, you know, sandstorms and the, you know, 30 mile hour winds, which were impossible to shoot. So things got dropped here and there because of that too.
You know, it would be so funny if this movie like really picked up, and then you eventually do like a midnight screening type thing, but out in the desert, everybody dressed up like the cult.
Oh yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
So just one more of these that I wanted to mention, because I actually personally like this one, whether it's true or not. But Requiem for a Dream, because of that scene where there's the three big things happening, the digging through the body for the key at the same time as the sex, at the same time as all the cult people.
I mean, I've seen Requiem for a Dream. I never thought of that movie during that. When I wrote the script, I you know, the trick was, you know, how do you keep it going? How do you have, sure, you know, seven people on a bus that's not moving and not get boring? And how can you develop the story? So coming up with the chosen one and trying to slowly give hints towards things. And then you got to build up for your finale. And I thought having these three parallel actions going on at the same time.
Yeah.
I tend to put more than less in my movies, which makes them difficult to shoot, especially on 11-day shooting schedule. That was quite a challenge. But yeah, I just thought it'd be fun. Well, obviously the joke with the virgin losing her virginity while they're cutting open the girl, and the, sure, you know, the none too subtle intercutting of that. And then the orgy going on outside was just this one big, you know, blood and guts in the show. I mean, I thought of, you know, a little bit when we were shooting, especially the orgy outside with the body parts. And I say in the end credits, a little nod to Blood Sucking Freaks, which was edited by my father, actually, Victor Konevsky, which was a little inside thing there, and Joel M. Reed. So I gave that a notice. And the other film I point out the end credits was Saints Cheerleaders, Graydon Clark's movie, also from the 70s, which had a pretty good sense of humor when it came out. They're like, you know, what they say, funnier than The Exorcist, scarier than Silent Movie. I think that was their tagline.
Nice, I love it.
Pretty funny. And there's a thing with a virgin there that's different than what I do in the joke, but there was a similar joke to that, who's the virgin, you know, sacrificed towards the end of the movie. So those were in my mind, but not Wrecking for a Dream. That's a much darker, you know, really well made. And our special effects guy who did my movie before that and after that, Vincent Gastini, did the effects on Wrecking for a Dream.
Oh,
he
really?
Didn't do Party Bus, but he actually did all of that with the hand and Ellen Burstyn's makeup and all that stuff. So yeah.
Nice. Cool. That's a connection.
Yep. Well, there are a few more references. I don't know if you picked up or not. In Party Bus, there's his Live It, Learn It, Love It, which is obviously Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Okay.
And there's a lot of little quotes in the movie that are, you know, I had to originally be a very big a movie fan, so there's always little things.
Oh, that's awesome.
The one that actually got cut out of the movie, which you won't see, but the setup was there for it. It wasn't quite delivered as well as I wanted. Again, not a horror film, but when Alan, the guy in the red shirt with the gun, when he goes down below to look for his bags, and he's shining the flashlight around, when I saw that image, I'm like, I said, okay, you got to say, you know, to yourself, come out to the coast, get on the party bus, have a few laughs. Which was the Die Hard, yeah.
Perfect.
which I thought was very funny, but it didn't make the final cut of the film. That was one of the ones I met. And of course, Say Hello to My Little Friend, which was the Scarface, which I think you mentioned also.
Sure, yeah.
Because yeah, he's kind of a movie buff to a certain extent, so there are a lot of lines all over the movie that give reference to other movies. And of course, you know, Game Over, Man, Game Over, what are we going to do now? You know yep, that kind of thing, which is obviously Aliens.
Yeah, there's so many little lines like that and stuff. It's great. Like, it's definitely a movie lover's movie, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm happy that people have picked up on that and have enjoyed that. Yes, I read to Lair of the White Worm, someone brought up, which I hadn't really thought of, but I see that reference too. And, you know, Night of the Creeps, and there's plenty of,
Night of the Creeps,
plenty of things all throughout that movie there. And I obviously love the genre. So yeah, it's usually intentional. You know, maybe there'll be something that other people see that I didn't consciously think of, but yeah, it's all in there.
For sure. Right on. Well, I love that these are really cool hearing these reactions. Before we close up, since the next one is Art of the Dead, if you could maybe just tell us a little bit about that before we wrap up. And then also if you have any other projects that you're working on right now.
So Art of the Dead. Yeah, Art of the Dead. We just finished principal photography in Vegas. It's a totally different movie. That's, you know, I'm very happy with Party Bus and the responses, but people that think Art of the Dead is going to be the follow-up and similar, it's like, no, this is a whole different world from Party Bus to Hell, hopefully. Yes, it's a horror film, but it's a much more interesting story of, it deals with an art collector who buys these 7 paintings in an art gallery auction, brings them home to his family, without realizing that the paintings actually represent the 7 deadly sins, and the paintings start to corrupt the different members of the family, from the children to the teenage daughter to the college son to the wife. So it's sort of, I think, a cool new way of doing the, you know, pride and greed and gluttony and wrath and envy and lust, you know, as a storyline. And gets very surreal and a little artsy. So I'm very curious to see, like, the new Suspiria, what they do with that, because there's definitely an Argento flavor and a look to the movie, and it's a whole different style and cool. What me and myself and Michael Sue, the DP, we're going for on this one, with very strong performances by everybody. And there's some people that were in Party Bus and some people that were in Black Room, and some new actors as well, both from Vegas and California. So it anyway, it's a very, very cool movie, very ambitious. And very different.
Awesome.
But if Party Bus keeps going the way it's going to go, there's more and more chance that at the end of the movie, the proposed possible sequel, Bus Party to Hell and Back, could see the light of day one day. I'm sure. Beautiful. I know the Mahals want to turn into a franchise, and there's definitely you know, open plenty of places to go for the sequel, or if we were to do it.
And I'm sure you could find a way to bring Tara Reid back for it. Anything's possible in that world to bring Tara Reid back somehow.
Yes. Yeah, well, I said, if you do follow up from where the movie ends, at the end, all hell, you know, literally hell breaks loose. Yep. So everybody who's been killed can come back. You know, it's open season. So you definitely, you know, you never saw her die, Tara Reid.
That's true.
Remember, she was still alive at the end. You just saw the head coming towards her. So,
that is true.
So it's kind of fun. So anyway, so there's that. I was just contacted about doing a short film, kind of a crime drama, which is something I've never really done, in New Mexico, which might happen in August. I just attached myself to this project. I didn't write it, but I'll tweak it. It's an interesting little story, you know, that they might want to turn into a feature if things go well with the short. I've got some TV shows that I'm trying to get off the ground. I've been developing for a while. I don't know if you know a series of films that started in '88 called Witchcraft.
I'm not sure.
They've made like 16 of these. It's the longest running horror series ever.
Oh my God.
It actually beats Freddy and Jason and all those. There's 16 of them. most of them not very good. but yeah, started in '88 as a direct-to-video title, and literally they've made 16 of these movies over the years. I thought it would be kind of interesting to try to turn into a TV series, because it is sort of a name and a title people know of. And I've been developing something called Witchcraft Motel.
Nice.
Would be a kind of a cool, basically motel in the middle of nowhere, where people show up to make deals with the devil on the crossroads, and they stay the night in the motel, and people, you know, get a second in each story that shows up, and then someone who's trying to destroy the motel from the inside. And it deals with some of the characters from the movie, but it's as a whole. You don't need to have seen the movies to be able to follow the show. I think it'd be kind of a cool, dark, a little bit sexy too, because the Witchcraft series is known for the sort of erotic horror a little bit.
Sure.
TV show dealing with a motel in the middle of nowhere, you know, as your crossroads with the negotiator who makes the deals. So that could be a really cool project.
Sounds like fun.
And I've got a lot of other scripts that I'm still trying to raise money for, trying to find, you know. And we'll see, you know, there's one called Nevermore, which is based on the work of Edgar Allan Poe.
Cool.
Which I've been wanting to make forever. I have Natasha Henstridge, who I worked with on Black Room, attached to possibly star in it. She loved the script.
Nice.
We get the money for it, and a more of a dark psychological thriller called Just Listen with Annalyn McCord, who was in the one of the Lifetime movies I wrote called Watch Your Back that she loved. She's from Beverly Hills 90210, but in the genre people, she starred in this movie called Excision, which was great, and recently in 68 Kill that Trent Hager directed. Wonderful actress, and she loved the role. So again, I'm with her attached. I'm trying to see if I can raise the money for that one.
Awesome.
And then the Mahals are talking about new projects too, so we'll see. There was something they mentioned on the set of Art of the Dead that I thought would be kind of a cool idea, and I've been developing it and thinking a lot more about it. So I have a whole idea. If they decide to pursue it, we'll see. But you never know. It's crazy business. It goes up and down. Right now, doing a lot of horror genre stuff, which is fun, but I've always loved comedy and thrillers and, you know, musicals and everything else too. So you never know what's going to come next. Oh, I got one more. Sunset Society comes out in L.A., Downtown Independent Cinema on July 6th. I was sort of co-director, helped out on the movie. It's a vampire rock and roll movie starring the late Lemmy from Motorhead.
Oh,
and
sweet.
A bunch of other musicians. It's a very rock and roll. Cleopatra Films, that also Cleopatra Records that produced Black Room, made this one, and I basically did about a half hour of the movie. Phoebe Dollar was the director of the original film when he was still alive, and we updated it, and it's finally coming out on July 6th, and then it's DVD, Blu-ray with the record and vinyl and the whole thing with a killer soundtrack with a lot of big bands.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
6th of July. Yep.
Yeah, that sounds like it's going to be
so
a lot of fun.
Look out for that. Yeah, that'll be out in about a month.
Beautiful. Well, right on, man. Thanks a lot for talking to me, and I'm sure we'll be seeing each other again. Hopefully we end up working together on something at some point again.
Yeah, I love the title song of Party. I mean, yeah, all the music was great. I mean, I'm as happy because you didn't make the screening out in Vegas, but I'm happy when you finally got to see the movie. It lived up to what you were hoping. I take it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Cool.
Right on, man.
Well, great.
So that's that, man. Bus Party to Hell. Such a fun movie, and it was so great to be a part of it because, I mean, it was a blast seeing it with a crowded theater, and then it's been fun watching it at home. It's just so over the top, and it was great talking to Rolf Konevsky. It was a great little interview and getting to hear his thoughts on our puzzle pieces and some of his own puzzle pieces for his own movie. That was awesome. This episode should be going up today, June 12th, which is also the release date of the DVD and Blu-ray release for Bus Party to Hell. It's been on VOD for a little while now, but we're all excited that it's going to be out on Blu-ray now. I've got my copy in the mail right now coming from Amazon. I'm very psyched for that. And also keep an eye out. If you've got a Redbox in your town, you're almost definitely going to have Bus Party to Hell at your Redbox. It's going out to 20,000 of the 40,000 Redboxes across the country. So there's a pretty good chance that there's going to be a Bus Party to Hell at your Redbox. So definitely rent it. Check it out. It's such a fun movie. I think you're really going to enjoy it, especially if you're into these kind of movies, these blood and boobs and guts and ridiculousness, comedy horror type films. It's an absolute blast. So enjoy it. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the movie. On this episode, I want to hear if you enjoyed hearing this director follow-up. I think it was a lot of fun myself, and I'm definitely hoping to do more of them in the future. So remember, be subscribed to the show. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts. We are now on Stitcher. We are on Spotify. I think at this point we're on pretty much all of the podcast apps. So wherever you listen to podcasts, make sure you're subscribed, leave us a review, rate us on iTunes. That would really be awesome. Also, if you want to get involved with the conversation, first of all, you can email me, bydavidrosen@gmail.com. You can also tweet at the show @piecingpod. And then also we now have a Facebook community called Piecing It Together, a movie discussion group where we continue the conversation. We have conversations about all kinds of movies that we didn't even cover on the show, but just any kind of conversation about movies. We want to make the group big and awesome, have lots of great conversations going in there. So please join the group and get involved with the conversation, you know. One other thing I want to let you know about before we get going is a campaign I'm taking part in. It's called Two Pods a Day. It aims to introduce podcast listeners to two independent podcasts every day for the month of July. We hope to give visibility to some of the great indie podcasts that you probably haven't heard of. Two Pods a Day encourages you to listen more, listen indie. Find more shows like mine by following hashtag Two Pods a Day on Twitter and Facebook. And I'm going to leave you now with... You know what? You already heard the Bus Party to Hell song. You know that you can go download it for free on my SoundCloud page, which is soundcloud.com/bydavidrosen. You can also find the link in the show notes. So I figured I might as well leave you today with the last theme song I made for these guys, the Mahal Brothers and Rolf Konevsky. This is the theme song from Last Day of School, their previous movie. Hope you enjoy it, and thanks for listening.
And all points west.